The scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Notice this. "For God hath not given us," somebody say, "God did not give me," "the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoners, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." And this is why. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works," notice this, "but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And verse 10 says, "But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ." I like this part. "Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And I'm going to talk to you tonight mostly from verse 7, verse 9, and this thought. God hath not given. God hath not given. Amen. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the worship, God. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that has filled this place, God. We ask that you'd help us be doers and hearers of your word tonight, God. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The scripture setting we read, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the gospel. It's a 2 Timothy is a short book. It's only 4 chapters long. In fact, Paul was incarcerated in Rome when he wrote this, and this is the last book that he wrote. And the Apostle Paul obviously is at the end of his road, and we use the term the sidewalk was almost over for him. He was about to be martyred, and he sends instruction to Timothy to bring him his coat and parchments and some writings. And I said it before, but I'm glad that Timothy did not become depressed and isolated while he was incarcerated, but he used it as a time to write, because we're blessed from that today. Amen. And so it's a short book, 4 chapters long, and it's something that the Apostle Paul, when he's kind of looking in retrospect, looking at his life and looking at the ministry of Timothy, he's calling for perseverance. He's telling Timothy that the baton's being passed to him, and for Timothy to persevere, to be bold, for Timothy to be apostolic in a time where there was turmoil, and sometimes with transition, there's things that get lost in transition. But we need to maintain our apostolic identity no matter what's going on around us or in the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1 and 8, he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoners, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." Oh, how we as apostolic believers, we want the power, we want the healing, we want the gifts of the Spirit, but sometimes we don't want the afflictions. And there's something I need to tell you. This may hurt your feelings, and this may surprise you, but you will have afflictions in serving the Lord. Right. In fact, Job tells us, "Man that is born of woman is just a few days and full of trouble." And affliction, when you break that word affliction down, it simply means hardships. In fact, the scripture tells us, the psalmist writes and tells us in Psalms 34 and 19, it says, "Many are the affliction of the righteous, but your money will bail you out." No, it says, "But the Lord deliver him out of them all." In fact, the another place in the scripture setting in verse 17, it says, "The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and deliver them out of all their troubles." you're taking notes, you probably want to highlight that in your Bible, because some of you are about to start school in the next 5 to 10 days, and you're going to come back with a whole bunch of homework and say, what happened to the summer? I got a lot of trouble. Well, maybe the Lord will deliver you from that too. But I can remember as a kid, Brother Lopez, in our when we would go shopping at Mervyn's, right? And they would sell shirts that said "No Fear," you know. And growing up, you thought maybe that was a pretty cool shirt. But as you begin to grow older, you begin to realize that that's necessarily not true, because there are some fears in life. In fact, it's one of the devices that the enemy will try to push on an apostolic Pentecostal believer. Is fear. It's a normal thing for him to try to do that. Anybody that has lived for God for any length of time has probably struggled with some fears or being afraid or even being timid. In fact, that's what the scripture is telling us here in this example. When Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear or being timid or being a coward or for us to be afraid and not have some boldness, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. And he's given us this power, this love, and a sound mind. He's given it to us for a holy calling. In verse 9 says, who had saved us. God saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose. I like how it says according to his own purpose, because we all have our own purpose. We all have things and goals and ambitions and things that we think ought to happen and how they ought to happen. But God has a purpose for all of us. We know that one of the purposes that we need to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'd like to point out for us to understand that just as you have a purpose and God has a purpose for us, our enemy has a purpose towards us. In fact, the scripture tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, somebody say, my enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. Now, to be sober means to be alert, to be on your toes. Don't be drunk with the world and don't be drunk with the cares of this life, but to be aware, to be vigilant, to be awake, to keep awake. And then the adversary, the enemy, the devil, because he's prancing around, he's looking for somebody to scare, to trip up, to allow some hardships, maybe that he's going to try to paint a picture of hardships, and they're not really hardships. They're part of the process of where God's trying to take you into something, and you see it as a hardship instead of a blessing or a teaching moment. Just think about that. Fear, a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, or pain. Notice this. Whether the threat is real or imagined. We talked about the strongholds of imaginations last week. But fear, the feeling of being afraid, something that causes feeling or dread. That's the definition today of fear. And the scripture setting we're using tonight is timid. Being lacking of self-assurance, courage, bravery, easily alarmed. You get a blessing and you're afraid you're going to lose the blessing. You don't feel that you're worthy to receive some of the things God has given you. I believe that sometimes we live way below the expectation that God has for us. We should be setting some higher expectations, because our God is the God of all the world. In the beginning, right? God created the heavens and the earth. If he was able to create the heavens and the earth, which is pretty hard, don't you think he can create some things in our life that is pretty simplistic? He's not up in heaven scratching his head and say, well, Elder Ousley, I don't know if I can deliver you from this because I've never seen this before. There is nothing new under the sun, and there is nothing that our God cannot do. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Talent and training and experience cannot take the place of the power of God. In us, we have the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can get the Holy Ghost tonight. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, you have received the power of God living in you, and it's an active Holy Ghost. It ought to be something that is moving, that it is regenerating in our life. And because of that, we have the Spirit of the Lord, and we're able to do things that we wouldn't be able to do if we did not have the Holy Ghost. The scripture says the Holy Ghost will lead and guide us into all truth. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, sometimes you're following false doctrine, or you're looking for that void to be filled in all kinds of other things. But when you have the Holy Ghost, you need to just keep the Holy Ghost stirred up, like Titus tells us, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Making a first point tonight says, being fearful is not a spiritual gift. Paul's telling Timothy, you have gifts. In fact, you have the gift of the Holy Ghost. You need to stir up the gift. But being fearful is not a spiritual gift. It's not. There was obviously some concern that Paul had with Timothy, with Timothy maybe being timid, maybe lacking some confidence. And so Paul's reminding him, he's admonishing him and telling him, hey, fear is not of God. God does not say, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost and I'm going to give you fear. He's not going to impart to us the spirit of giving or the spirit of faith and then give us a spirit of fear. That fear does not come from God.
All right.
We face situations where we feel afraid. We may feel timid. For some, it's speaking in front of others. It's confrontation. Maybe it's dressing holy outside of church. Living holy outside of church. The feeling of rejection. But notice what Titus tells us in Titus 2 and 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. For some, the fears may be of stewardship. I'm a little hesitant to be a good steward with what God has given me or to witness to others. And the scripture tells us that we know that fear and faith are in conflict of one another. You can't be fearful and have faith at the same time. You either gotta have faith or you gotta have fear. And the scripture tells us in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In the New Living Translation, it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. You ever make the statement, well, I hope this happens? How about we start having some faith and saying, I believe it's going to happen in Jesus' name, because the scripture says, whatsoever I ask in His name, according to His will, so let it be done. We have to have the boldness to come before and say, Lord, I have this need. I have this situation, God. I am this vessel. Will you use me for your glory? God does not give us something that is fearful. God will position you in places that He has put you there for a purpose. Amen. Nowhere in the Bible do we read that the Lord gives us fear. In fact, notice this. It's actually the opposite. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Somebody say faith. For every Holy Ghost-filled believer, God has imparted to us a measure of faith. We have a measure of faith. It may be poquito, right? It may be a little bit, but it is a measure of faith. He just says, have faith. Whatever you got, 1 ounce, 1 pound, 1 ton of faith, whatever it is, but just have that faith. That whenever you're feeling a little afraid or a little timid, just begin to remember what the scripture tells us in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I, the Lord, will strengthen you. I, the Lord, will help thee. I, the Lord, will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. If there's anything we need in this day and hour is more faith and less fear. If we're ever going to reach the families and the friends and the loved ones in our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be a people of faith, not of fear. In fact, Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11. Notice what he tells him. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith. We've got to follow after faith. Don't follow after fear. I know there's a lot of fears in the world, especially with things that have taken place in the last 2 or 3 weeks in Hong Kong and El Paso and even close to us and Gilroy and North Korea and what took place in Baton Rouge or Dayton, Ohio. But you know what? We're a people of God. God's not going to leave you high and dry. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We don't need to be walking around in fear or afraid and going to bed at night trying to sleep with one eye open. Now, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you better be looking over your shoulder. You better be worried about every step you take and sleeping with one eye open. If you're not living for God and living according to the scriptures and the principles of the Lord. But if you're a Holy Ghost-filled, baptized in Jesus' name, heaven-bound believer, man, you ought to be looking and say, you know what, I'm looking up for my redemption draweth nigh. All these things are going to happen. In fact, he says in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Troubling times, Diana. There's going to be a lot of trouble. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to take place. It's, what is taking place today is not a secret. It's not a surprise. We have it in the scriptures. But what is going to be a surprise when the trumpet sounds, there's going to be some people that aren't ready to meet him in the air when he calls us. We cannot. We cannot be people that are walking around afraid and timid. Matthew 5 and 14 tells us that we are the light of the world. We don't need to get caught up in the panic. Pandemonium of the day. Be wise. Ephesians 5 and tells us be wise. Walk circumspectly because the days are evil. We need to be wise, but we don't need to be afraid. 1 Peter 2 and 9 tells us that he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are not people of the dark. We live in the light. He's called us to show out, to represent him. We cannot hide our faith. We cannot hide the power that God has given us. We cannot hide the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We cannot hide the lifestyle of holiness or the separation from this world. We cannot be afraid to tell somebody about Jesus. I understand that there are folks that are afraid, and that's a real situation. It's an emotion. It is something that folks deal with. That it is something real, and you can receive help from that. And you need to walk through that and get and be delivered from that. But there are some things that some of us are we kind of hunker down. We kind of say, well, I don't know if I can be a soul winner. If God saved you, you can be a soul winner. You just testify to somebody about what God has done in your life.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
People that live in fear, they live in darkness. It's a lonely place. Fear is not a friendly place. Fear causes pandemonium. Fear causes confusion. Fear doesn't bring peace. Fear brings panic. But we have the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have the gift of our salvation. We have the gift of a relationship with the Lord. We have the gift of the Holy Scriptures today. Amen. The Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. That was not just an isolated thing. God brings peace. He is peace. He can never not be peace because he is peace. In fact, it's on Isaiah 9 and 6. It says, for he is the Prince of Peace. Even in times of fear, even in times where you don't understand how you're going to walk through it, how you're going to get through it, he'll give you peace which passeth all understanding. In fact, John 14:27 says, peace, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let your heart be troubled. Notice this. Don't let it be afraid. Tell your neighbor, don't be scared. I'm reaching for someone tonight that you've been timid with your outreach. You've been timid to try to build a relationship with the Lord because you're trying to measure your relationship with the Lord with pastor or somebody on the platform. You're timid, or you're afraid that your marriage is going to fail because everybody else that you know in your family, their marriages have failed, and that's just kind of the roadmap that you have. You feel that you have lost the footing in your life. You feel that you're going to fail with living for God. So you're timid. You don't want to overcommit because you're afraid that you're going to let pastor down. You're going to let the person that brought you into the church down. You're going to let God down. Can I tell you that is a lie from the devil? Come on, somebody. You don't have to be afraid living for God. God loves you. God wants to help you. If you've fallen and you've messed up, you get back up, you dust yourself off, you repent, you get back and you fall forward to the cross. You say, God, I'm going to give you all that I got, but I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to worry about what man can do to me. I'm going to worry about what God knows about me and what he can do for me. You know, sometimes, Brother Carlos, we're worried about what people will say about us, right? Perception. We make that, we've said that before. We've talked about this. Perception is reality, right? But what does God really know about us that people don't, right? Because we'll put on these masks, walk around, everything's good, and everything's not good, right? We're scared. Not just of the dark. We're just afraid about what's going to happen, right? Some of you are scared of your wives, right? But seriously, we walk around and we're afraid. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. When you have the Spirit of the Lord, you need to stir that thing up and say, you know what? I walk in dominion. I walk in faith. I walk in promise. I don't know where I'm going, but I just shall walk by faith. I walk by faith, not by sight. I am who God said I am. I am the head. I am not the tail. God did not give me the spirit of fear. This came from my imagination. This came from something that I'm dealing with. But God Almighty has given me the power. He's given me the authority to look at those things and say, you know what? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. When was the last time you rebuked something you're walking through in the name of Jesus? When was the last time? Said, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Instead of saying, well, I'm going to I have to give a status update because everything's falling apart and I need people to pray for me. If you got the Holy Ghost, you need to start rebuking some things in Jesus' name. Revival says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you.
Amen.
Don't live in fear. It brings disarray. It brings depression. And then it causes you to get really good. Notice this if you're taking notes. It causes you to get really good at overanalyzing, assuming, and jumping to conclusions. Before you know it, you're missing out. You're hiding out. You're mad at somebody because you thought they said something. They don't even know why you're mad. They don't have a clue what you're talking about. And you're avoiding them because you're afraid that they're about to rip your head off. Start hiding from God. You start missing church. You start minimizing your worship and your giving. You start hiding from your purpose and your calling.
Uh-oh.
God has not given us a spirit of fear. He gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It was a gift. It is a gift. It is a free gift.
Amen.
It's His presence living in us. Presence brings power. His presence brings authority. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He had saved us. I want to just hammer this down. God saved you with the holy calling for a purpose according to His will. Not your will. His will. You were saved with the holy calling for a purpose for His will. Sure, it's uncertain. Sure, it's uncharted territory. Absolutely. But there's a purpose. There's a process. There's a plan. And the rewards, can't put any measure on the rewards. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. You can't measure the things that God's about to do. If you begin to walk in dominion and keep the Spirit stirred up and walk in power and love and a sound mind. Second point tonight is God has given you power, love, and a sound mind. Those are three characteristics of an effective Christian. They become available to us by the leading of the Spirit of God that resides in us, if we allow it to. We can do God's work and have power and love and a sound mind if we keep our focus on Him. Let me just remind us of something this evening. The devil is more afraid of you than you realize. Yeah. The devil's scared of you. He needs to be. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Now, if you're not, then he's picking on you like a bully. You notice a bully doesn't pick on somebody when all his friends are around. He gets you when you're riding your bike by yourself, or you're walking down the store by yourself, when you're walking down the hallway by yourself. That's when he hits you up for your lunch money or your shoes. But you're walking around with 10 or 15 of your friends. So we say, what school did Pastor go to? But you start walking around, Sister Kendrick, with two or three Holy Ghost filled people, right? The Scripture says if there are two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Scripture tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Sin and devil, the devil, your problems, your sickness, your issues, your bad decisions, your past, The people on your job, the people that live in your home, they don't have control over your walk with God unless you allow them to. You got to remember that God does not give you to power or does not allow you to be under dominion of man. You're supposed to have authority. And when He gave us authority, it was dominion over the beasts of the field. It was dominion over everything. Your bills should not have dominion over you. You should not be afraid of money and finances. You should be concerned. You should be a good steward. And if you're not paying your tithes and offering, you ought to be very afraid. But if you're walking in authority and dominion with God, you ought to know. So you know what? He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that I ask or imagine, according to the power that worketh in me. We got to work that power that's in us. We don't play by the same rules of people in the world. In fact, we're not held such a glory to the same standards of the people in the world.
Amen.
You're a child of God.
Yes.
The office politics may be real, but those office politics don't apply to you. They don't. Sorry. Doesn't. 20 years in a secular world, I know what I'm talking. It don't apply to you.
Yeah.
If you're walking in dominion with the Lord,
right.
Promotion cometh from the Lord. Now, you got to use wisdom, as Bishop would say. God gave you a brain before He gave you the Holy Ghost, but you need to apply some things. You got to ensure to say, you know what? When I get to work, I'm going to thank the Lord for this job. When I get the paycheck, I'm going to give God the first fruits. When I walk into a meeting, I'm going to just remember that the Lord is on my side. I'm not going to be afraid. When I apply for that promotion that I know I'm underqualified for, I'm going to believe that God is going to give me favor. I'm not going to be afraid. Notice this. 1 John 4 and 5 says, they are of the world. They're of the world, and the world heareth them. New Living Translation says, those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint.
Yeah. Right.
We're in the world, but we're not of the world.
Right.
Amen.
Now, we need to be respectful, but we gotta ensure, remember, that it may be a union mentality. It may be a good old boys club. But you're part of a good old boys club too. Holy Ghost, good old boys club. You're a child of God. You do good and He'll take care. He'll take care of you. You don't have to worry. Somebody here tonight is afraid about something that's going on in your job and you don't know how it's going to work out. I'm going to tell you right now, in the Holy Ghost, God does not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You put that under the blood. You give it to God tonight. You watch what He'll do.
Yeah.
Your past may be something you're not proud of. Carnal people of the flesh play by a carnal set of rules. We don't play by those rules. 1 John 4 and 6 says, we are of God. That's who we are. We need to have a renewed assurance of who we are. He saved us for a holy calling, for a purpose.
Hallelujah.
So what's your purpose? Scripture tells us in Luke 10 and 19 that He gives us power over the enemy. All power over the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Ephesians 3 and 20, I mentioned it earlier. According to the power that worketh in us. Pastor, I don't feel like I have power. Well, you need to maybe just reevaluate your connection to the power source. Because maybe you're unplugged. Maybe you've disconnected the line. Maybe you need to get recharged, renewed, revived. Might need to pray through.
Yeah.
But let's push back. Let's not be timid. Let's not be timid in our worship. I salute you tonight for the worship and the service tonight. Outstanding worship on Sunday. But can you worship the Lord like that without any music or on Tuesday when you're not at church? The psalmist says, let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. It's the lifting of our hands. That's worship. Music doesn't, you don't necessarily have to have music to have worship. A lot of times we have music for praise. It's timely. It's comely. We need it. It helps us. We're going to have it at RT. But you could worship the Lord tomorrow with no music. Just lifting up your hands as the evening sacrifice. Let my prayers be set before Thee as the incense. I want us to slam the door on the enemy's face with our worship. Say, you know what? I'm not going to be timid to worship. I'm not going to be intimidated to worship. I've said it before, but if somebody's sitting by you that doesn't worship, they ought to feel out of place. They ought to feel like, well, maybe I need to sit further. Well, I don't want to offend anybody that sits in the back, because some people sit in the back because I need them to sit in the back. I want them back there for a reason. Now you want to know why. But some folks, they sit in the back. They need to sit in the back. Just because they sit in the back doesn't mean they're not worshiping. But if they're sitting by you and they're not worshiping, you need to worship in a way where you become contagious, where you begin to be infectious with your worship. Don't be timid. Don't be intimidated and say, you know what? Well, they're not worshiping. I'm not going to worship. You worship anyways. Amen. Psalmist tells us in Psalms 134 and 2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Why don't we do that right now? Why don't we lift up our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord? Come on. He saved us for a holy calling, for a purpose. We don't need to be timid. We've got power. We've got dominion. He gives us love. He gives us a sound mind. He's about to do something for somebody that came in here worried. But he says, I give you power. You've been going through a trial. He's going to give you power. Acts 1 and 8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So God gives us power to be a witness. If I'm trying to hurry, if the world can promote their agenda, they can brag, they can fly their colors, and they can write their slogans, and they can march, and they can protest, and they can petition for what they want. Why shouldn't an apostolic, Holy Ghost, heaven-bound believer that's been filled with the Spirit and sanctified and on your way to heaven be timid to be a witness for Jesus? It doesn't mean you got to stand in the corner with a bullhorn and preach, but it means that you could be a witness in your job. You can say a lot of things without saying anything. Being a witness in your neighborhood, we let our light shine. The darker the night, the brighter our light should shine. Let's not be timid. We have the power. Acts 22 and 15 says, and thou shalt be his witnesses unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. How many of us have seen a lot of things in the church? How many of God has heard a lot of preaching, a lot of things that God has done for us? Then we ought to be a witness. We cannot just be connoisseurs of preaching and not be a witness. We don't lack in passion. We lack in application. We go to apply what we know. Somebody say, I'm going to be a witness. Scripture tells us in Revelation 12 and 11 that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People brag about their lifestyles. They brag about their sins and the trends, their addictions, their immoral ways. When was the last time you bragged about the power of God from a Sunday night service? Say, man, it was so crazy. Why you got sleepy eyes? Man, because I went to church and it was wild. It was crazy. What kind of church you go to? Well, why don't you come see for yourself? Why don't you come to Joel's place and have a drink with us and see what the Lord would do? What God has given us. He's given us love. The love of this world is conditional. God's love is not conditional. The love of this world is based off of merit and it's incentive-based. But God's love is long-suffering. How many of us can testify that God's love is long-suffering? God's love is clear. It's from everlasting to everlasting. In fact, the Scripture tells us in Jeremiah 31 and 3, the Lord hath appeared unto me, old saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Aren't you glad that His love doesn't dry out?
Amen.
You can't be so bad that He won't love you. Just think about that. His love covers our sins. It was His love that sent Him to the cross. For God so loved. Just so much in the, for God so loved. You could teach a whole Bible study on just for God so loved that He gave. He's still giving. He gives us His love. He gives us Himself. 1 John 4 and 16 says, and we have known and believed that the love of God hath to us. God is love, and He dwelleth in love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in Him. Notice this. Here is our love made perfect, that we may have fear in the day of judgment.
Boldness.
Boldness. that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. God's love will give you boldness to love somebody that you know you shouldn't love, but in the flesh, but in the Holy Ghost, you're like, I got to love my brother. Hebrews tells us to let brotherly love continue. So I got to love them. It's really hard to like them, but oh God, I'm doing all I can to love them, God, even though they may not love me, even though they broke my heart and they threw it on the ground and they stepped on it, God. I pray, oh God, for them every day. Lord, I ask, God, that there is no presumptuous sins in my heart, God. I pray, God, a covering over them, God, that you would bless them, that you would save them, because it's God's love and it gives you boldness to be able to pray for somebody that has done evil. It says to pray for those that do wicked things against you. How can we do that? God's love. He gives us love. 1 John 4:18 says there's no love in fear. Notice that. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Sister Ellen would come. God gives us faith. He gives us love. He gives us power. And He gives us a sound mind. A calm, self-controlled mind is what He's telling Timothy. Timothy, you're going to go up against some things. You're going to face some things. You're going to see a lot of things. But you got to stir up that gift that is in you. You've been called with the holy calling for a purpose. Revival Tabernacle, you're going to see some things. You're going to go through some things. You're going to have afflictions. But God has given you a spirit. He's given you the Holy Ghost. He resides in us. He has called us for a holy calling, for a purpose. His purpose. Let's not be timid. Let's not be fearful. Let's not cower down. But let's know that my Redeemer liveth. And if He lives, I can face tomorrow. If there's something that I'm dealing with and I got trouble, I know the problem solver and He knows me. I want to be great with God, not with man. So I'm going to make sure I fix my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help, because my help cometh from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We get calmness. We get a self-controlled mind. That's what a sound mind means. A soul harmonized in all its powers and faculties. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 119:80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Let my heart be sincere and wholehearted and blameless. A sound mind, we have self-control. We don't allow those things that we've talked about. I'm kind of hurrying through this because we spent some time on this topic last Wednesday and the Wednesday before. But we have self-control in our mind because we know the battle is in the mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The spirit has dominion. The spirit has order. The flesh is out of control. That's why we see all these things taking place in the world. It's because it's flesh. It's carnal. There's no order in the flesh. It's out of control. The Spirit of God is not out of order. The Spirit of God has order. In fact, the Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decent and in order. From the beginning of time, there was order. When God created the heavens and the earth, there was order. God spoke. He created. It happened. He gives order for the home. You read Ephesians, there's order. You read 1 and 2 Timothy, there's order. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, there's order. Husbands and wives, there's order. There's order in the churches with the fivefold ministry. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers. And notice this, Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's called order. It's called calmness. It's called a sound mind. He can give you a sound mind tonight too. Proverbs 8:14, as we stand, says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Notice this. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even the judges of this earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early find me. Proverbs 2:7 says, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He gives us power and love and a sound mind. So we stand tonight in the presence of the Lord. Anybody here need to hit the reset button. Anybody here tonight want to draw closer to God? Anybody here come and say, you know what? I've had some things I've kind of allowed to give me some anxiety. God can deliver us tonight. God, right, maybe you haven't prayed. You haven't talked to the Lord. It's a big vacation time right now. School's going to start in the next 10 or so days. And so you're back. You say, you know what? I need to allow God to stir in me. Stir the gift of the Holy Ghost. And stir the faithfulness back up. And stir the resiliency back up in me. Stir the passion for living for God back up with me. Because I got to get to heaven. I wonder if we would step out of the aisle tonight. Sister Ellen begins to bless us with song and begin to talk to the Lord and say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be timid if my neighbor doesn't come. In fact, I'm going to ask them, will you come to the altar with me tonight? Will you pray with me? Would you make an altar at your chair, at your seat? We talk to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, RT. Let's talk to Jesus. Let's talk to Jesus.
I worship you.
I'm not going to be timid. I'm going to lift my voice.
Turning lives around.
I'm desperate.
I worship
you. I'm desperate for change. I'm desperate for anointing.
I worship you.
I'm desperate for my marriage to be fixed. I'm desperate to be anointed. I'm not going to be timid.
I worship you.
What would you do if you knew failure wasn't an option? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail?
You are here.
How would you pray
in
if you knew God was going to answer your prayers?
I worship you.
Come on.
I worship.
Come on, prayer team. Come on, Firm Foundation.
You are here.
Come on, young people. Come on, moms and dads. I don't want to be afraid. You may have cancer, but God can heal you. Come on, you may be on the verge of bankrupt, but He's still Jehovah Jireh tonight. Come on. I don't want to be timid. He's going to show you. He's going to lead you. He gives you power and love. A sound mind. I got a sound mind. Clear in my mind.
Jesus.
There we go.